Would you welcome a return there, or has that run its course?
Listen, I'm open to whatever I feel like is the best option. If Buffalo is that best option, obviously, you know, I will take it. That's definitely something that I will do. I know the system very well. I know the guys very well. And I feel like I can contribute big there like I have in the past. So Buffalo's definitely could be a team that I end up being on. You know, we'll see. I don't know.
Gabe Davis from a couple weeks ago with Kay Adams. He is back with the Bills on the practice squad. We are talking about it because, well, it happened. You can join us at 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Sneaky Joe. Owen's here. Josh is here. We got to do waivers still. We got to process waivers for our former Bill, future Bill draft now that Gabe Davis has been brought back. Mm-hmm. I drafted him. So I scored some cash from these guys. And we got a couple of open spots on our rosters for former Bills to next make their return. Our great fantasy league. We also tonight have our all wide receiver fantasy league draft.
Yes.
12 teams, mm-hmm. 10 roster spots, all receivers. We start seven. Just for something to do.
Will Gabe Davis get drafted? No, he won't.
Yeah, why not? Okay, so we teased something going to the break. By the way, good morning. If you want to chime in on Davis and anything else, Bills, we'll talk about it with Sal coming up at 7:30. The Bills speaking with the media yesterday. Sean McDermott down at One Bills Drive talking about changing the narrative on Buffalo. I want to get to that at some point, too. We'll play that highlight, and we'll do that. Also coming up today, and we'll talk about this with Sal, injury designations. Couple names to watch here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tre'Davious White, a big one. Tyler Bass, a big one, right? What's his availability for mm-hmm. the opener against Baltimore? Isaiah likely missed practice on Monday. Again, today's the day for injury designations in a regular game week. So
right.
We'll get a little bit of a better picture on who might and might not be available. So that's later today, so stay tuned for that. But we went to the break and talked about something here. We had a caller call up and say, trade for Jeffrey Simmons, right? Like, the Bills don't have the cap room to trade for Jeffrey Simmons. The Micah Parsons trade happened Thursday last week and saw a breakdown of the salary cap in the NFL. Every team, how they spend, what they spend, not just cap space, not positional, but it was presented in a way I'd never seen before. So I want to go through that a little bit. Now, Joe, I want to preface this by saying, this is not the man on the radio has told you the Bills are doing it wrong. This is, I'm going to tell you how the Bills are doing it just by looking at mm-hmm. where the money is. Because did you get a little bit of, how come the Bills don't have all the cap space to sign
sure.
Micah Parsons? Why don't they have space for that?
Sure, right? Definitely.
They have
who are they paying so much money
yeah.
that causes them to have less room than anybody in the league?
Right. You would have seen the Eagles have all these high-profile, high-priced players, and why don't the Bills? They have Josh Allen, and who's the next highest-paid player? It's Dawkins, it's Groot. You know, you'd have,
mm-hmm.
So if you're someone that asked the question, why don't the Bills have space, here comes the answer. And this came from Sebastian, an engineer at R-Stats, NFL Stats R, which is kind of scraping NFL data mm-hmm. and taking a look at it. And he used over the caps, 53-man rosters. I promise this won't be super boring. Promise. Mm-hmm. It's just a look into something that they do. So the way that he broke this down was what percentage of your cap is being spent on rookie contracts? What percentage of your cap is being spent on low-figure contracts? That's $5.8 million and below.
Mm-hmm.
Middle, 5.8 to 10.8. High, 10.8 to 23.7. Elite, 23.8 to 50 million. And then dead money. So basically, are you paying a lot of great players and have a lot of rookie deals? Do you have a lot of middle figures, high figures? Where is your money spent? And there's something on the Bills here that I think is revealing. I think it answers the question of where's all their money. And they, of course, have Josh Allen making a big, big cap figure. Just redid his deal. He's a highly paid quarterback. A lot of teams do have highly paid quarterbacks. So Allen makes big money. And then after that, there's not that many guys that make high dollars or middle. What the Bills have here is by league rankings, they spend the most of their cap, and I don't mean that most of their cap is on low-figure players. I mean, in the league, how many teams there are? 32. Who spends the most on the low-figure contracts by a percentage of their cap? And the answer is the Bills. Mm-hmm. They have the most of their money than any other team tied up in contracts of $5.8 million and less, and that does not include rookie contracts.
Right.
They have the third highest tied into middle contracts. And when you put those two together, you know, you could do these rankings for every single team, right? I do think there's a conclusion to come to on the other side here, too. You could do this for every single team. But what I decided to look at was, all right, what do the Chiefs do? What do the Eagles do? What do the Ravens do? Those are the three teams that I'm just top of mind thinking about.
Yep.
And again, I am not here to tell you this means they're doing it wrong. This explains why they don't have money for Micah Parsons, though, because they do spend a good amount of money on their middle contracts. So 42% of the Bills' space is on low and middle contracts. This is a conversation we have gotten into from time to time. Like, hey, Curtis Samuel is a middle-class contract at receiver. You don't really see a lot of those. That doesn't really happen.
Yep.
He got that. Anyway, 42% of the Bills' space is spent on low and middle deals. Philadelphia, that number is 20%. Half. Kansas City, the number is 27%. Baltimore, that's 20%. So what the Bills have is a lot of their money is tied into good players they've identified. Mm-hmm. They're not going to let them walk. They're going to just feel like they're going to get good value. The final piece of this is the Bills this year have the least amount of cap on rookie deals.
Right.
There's an easy explanation for that. Some of that's just going to be timelines. What was this offseason about? Five guys on rookie deals just got extensions. They all got moved into what? The middle and the high figures?
Mm-hmm.
It's Shakir, it's Bernard, it's on and on and on. So what this, to me, ultimately paints the picture of, when Parsons got traded, maybe you had a group chat and someone in the group chat says, the Bills would never pay a guy that amount of money. And I don't agree with that. I think they definitely would. They have not had that many candidates to do so. Who are the guys that they've paid at the top of their position? It's Allen, who deserves it. It's Diggs, when he got his extension. They paid him near the top of that market. Who else would they pay near the top of that market? Mitch Morse, when they signed him, they made him the highest paid center in football. But they've not drafted players that have reached that where we would say, should they make this player the highest paid at their position? They walked away from Tremaine Edmonds. They walked away from Gabe Davis, who's back on the practice squad. But if you're asking where's the money, the answer is that they spend it to keep this roster intact, to keep a really strong roster, a lot of good depth. There are teams that do it differently, where their money is really on high-profile guys, high-money guys, and then a lot of space at the bottom is just like, for whatever. You're not too worried about it.
Well, and aren't there some teams here? I mean, part of it is that, sure, they just paid James Cook and Greg Rousseau and Christian Benford. Isn't a little part of it also that there are teams that are getting more from their day three picks filling out the back end of the roster? The Bills, every year, cut one or two day three picks. This year it was Caden Prather. Last year it was Daquan Hardy. He was a sixth-round pick. The year before that it was Nick Broeker and Alex Austin. Justin Shorter got in a year. The year before that it was Luke Tenuta and Ariza for a different reason. The year before that it was three guys, Wild Goose. Is that not a little part of it too, is that sixth- and seventh-round picks pretty much every year are getting cut from this team? I don't know if every team is doing that.
Right, that might be right. Isn't that because it's a hard team to make? You'd like to say
but
that.
But is that a hard team to make because they're bringing in veterans that make $2, $3 million a year?
It might be. It might be. They'll trust a veteran over a six-round set.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again,
I'm looking for the right guy for this, but like, is Cam Lewis taking a job here that would belong to a rookie on another team? Is that, and again, not all of these are bad, right? Like, I could use Ty Johnson for this, and I like Ty Johnson a lot, and I would rather have him than a seventh-round rookie. But how many teams are using their third-string running back spot for a $2.5 million veteran running back versus how many are using it on a six-round rookie?
Right.
A lot of teams are using it on the six-round rookie.
Yep.
And that could be a difference between what the Bills are doing and other teams are doing.
Yeah, this is kind of laying out how it's you could do it a lot of different ways. You're all in fantasy drafts this year. You got an auction draft tonight. I know it's not fantasy football, but what do you want to do? Do you want to go ahead and put $70 down on Ja'Marr Chase to start? Or do you want to say, I'm not going to spend that. I'm going to go ahead and build a roster that is stronger, mm-hmm. 1 through 12, as opposed to so heavy at the top and hope I hit on guys at the bottom. There are some teams that do it that way. You know, the Eagles, of course, have a ton of elite contracts and big money guys. In fact, their entire defense, I was talking to Joe Marino about this last night, and we'll talk to him at 8 o'clock. The Eagles have one guy on their starting defense that's not on a rookie deal.
Bon?
It's it.
Zach Bon?
Yeah. Everybody else has rookie contracts.
Yeah.
So,
it's amazing because that's an amazing defense.
It's all about how you decide to chop it up and how you decide to build it together. So,
and it is how good those players become, right? Like, if Greg Rousseau was a 20-sack player, TV was Miles Garrett instead of what he is now, and he's costing you $36 million a year.
You'd pay it.
You'd pay that, and this chart would look a lot different.
Yep.
So, like, part of it, too, is that their guys have become good players, and they haven't really had anybody become top three in their position. And if that had happened, I'm sure they would like to have that happen.
For
right?
sure. I mean,
this year, they would want Dalton Kincaid to go for 1,200 yards and become
the best tight end in football.
The best tight end in football, right, and you'd pay
it.
Him.
They would love it. I mean, Bean has flat out said this year with Bustin with the boys, he'd like to have Miles Garrett, a guy who got $40 million a year.
Right,
he has
right.
said, I'd love to have a Ja'Marr Chase, highest paid receiver in football. So, yeah, I don't buy that they would avoid paying somebody near the top. I think they would make it happen, and you know we would see the after effects.
Right.
But what we have here is, you know, a good team that builds this way. And on rookie contracts, the fact they have the fewest, I really want to point out that doesn't mean they don't value it. They're going through a transition. They have a bunch of picks next year. That number will grow. I feel like it kind of just moves and ebbs and flows with your timelines. So anyway. 803-0550. Hope that wasn't too confusing. That came out mm-hmm. Friday and really kind of visually nailed for me. Where is all the money if you can't? Why can't you get a Micah Parsons? Answer is, you know, you're spending a lot of money. You're not spending it at the top. You're spending it on the middle and the bottom of your roster to make sure you have fewer weaknesses. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550.
It is strange, too, that like the Eagles, the study of like how they do it, and like a lot of it is what? That they push money way in the future, all that money they have tied up all the way through like 2030. And then you go to like, you know, like when Parsons comes available or somebody else comes available, and you go look at like, oh, who's got the room to do it? And like New England comes up because that makes sense, right? Yeah. New England's not paying anybody yet.
Teams without quarterbacks. Yeah. Yeah.
But then you look and it's like, how do the Eagles have $19 million in cap space today?
Well, they have $142 million pushed into 2030.
But they're just not going to use that? That's going to go as unused cap dollars, that $19 million? Like, that's, or are they planning to do that? Like, again, they just are doing things a little differently than a lot of other teams, and I wonder if that's any part of it. Like, is that, you can roll some over, right?
Yeah.
You can roll money over into the next year, so maybe they're planning that, deadline moves. Because if a player became available today, Jeffrey Simmons, let's pretend there was an actual beef between Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons, and the Titans said, we can't have this, so we got to trade our superstar defensive tackle. And they made him available tomorrow. Philadelphia could just go and get him. And the Bills couldn't without doing 19 things.
Yeah.
So, again, I don't know what they're doing. That's totally different, other than pushing the money way in the future.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Season starts tomorrow. Eagles and Cowboys.
Kind of lame that the Cowboys are in it, right?
Agree. No, I agree. I think it's...
Tomorrow be a version of Monday where everyone got to just kick your feet back and enjoy watching Belichick get destroyed? Will everyone have the same experience if the Cowboys are just getting destroyed tomorrow night?
Maybe. That's not that unusual for them. Don't they have 40-0 blowouts somewhat routinely?
Getting blown out?
Yeah, they get...
They did blow out the Giants 40-0 on
that's
opening
right.
day.
Okay, I'm thinking about that one. But they
But
know.
No, they're, you're right, though. They can lose. They can lose their game by 20, 30 points.
But they're a constant disappointment that nobody ever props up, whereas Belichick was awesome, won all the time, got mm-hmm. propped up, and then what happened to Belichick was a... I don't want to say it's an outlier. It might be the future for him coaching in college. But, you know, if you were to tell me the Eagles beat the Cowboys 35-10, I would think, like, okay.
Yeah, how
that's,
about –
that's normal.
Like what happened last year, the two Eagles-Cowboys games, the Eagles beat the Cowboys in both games, and their combined score was 75-13.
Okay.
They beat him 75-13 in the two games they played last year.
So you're telling me to look for an alternate line on this game.
A huge one.
Yeah.
Now Prescott will be playing in this game, and I think he missed one of those Eagles games last year. But he didn't miss the other one.
The Eagles are 8.5-point favorites.
8.5. I think it's the biggest of the week.
Of week one.
And now that I'm looking, Prescott actually missed both those Eagles games last year, so that would make sense as to how that happened, that they lost by that much. I wish we had a little bit of a better opponent
for the first game.
Yeah, for Philadelphia.
Chargers Chiefs is Friday from Brazil.
Look, I'm more excited for that game.
Yeah. Are you
also? I have a more vested rooting interest in that game. Of course.
Are you excited for that game, or are you dreading that game?
No, I'm excited. I'm excited now. I'm gonna build myself up. I'm gonna think that the Chargers can win that football game.
Well,
but by Friday night, I already know that. I don't think it yet. But I'm already getting there.
Yeah, that's where I am ready for football season. I don't know if my body is ready for the Chargers have a chance for a game-winning kick with 10 seconds left, but they got called for an unsportsmanlike something, pushed out of range, and the Chiefs have won. Just... My brain couldn't even come up with the most annoying scenario on the spot there. Like, Quentin Johnston is running in for the game-winning score untouched, and
he drops the football,
trips and fumbles out of the end zone, and the Chiefs win, and that's what the Chiefs do. I'm not ready for that. I don't want to get one of those until at least week five. Mm-hmm. I'd rather the Chiefs win by 60 than they win something stupid. Maybe that's not true.
No,
I'd be afraid. That's right. I don't want that. Chargers and Chiefs.
I'm ready to be Charlie Brown kicking the ball and having Lucy pull it away again. I'm ready for it because I'm wanting to kick that ball 1,000 yards, which is just give me a Chargers win on Friday night. And even more than that, just have the Chiefs look like they looked last year. Let them look pedestrian on offense. Like it's hard for them to move the football.
Yeah.
Well, like that's I really want to see on Friday.
That would be the last 2 years for them. They've been bad on first and second and miracle workers on third.
And how much should I really expect that to be different this year? Right out of the gates. What's different?
They
don't have Rice for week one.
Right. They have Tyquan Thornton. Right. What's different? They're returning pretty much the same defense and the same offense, except they have a better left tackle.
They have a better left tackle.
The left tackle has been changed. And
everything else is the same.
Yeah.
Worthy could be different. Could Worthy be so much better in year two? Like, I guess that could happen.
Yeah.
Like, if you're expecting a Coleman jump, then maybe you should expect a Worthy jump.
So, I didn't tell you yet why the NFL's not going to have this Charger-Chief game next year, right? The Brazil game?
Okay. Not yet.
So, ProFootballTalk.com. There will be no Friday game next year as part of opening weekend, according to the NFL. And you can decide whether or not you believe them right now or not. So the NFL, according to Pro Football Talk, has taken advantage of the language of the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961. There's a loophole, and the loophole does not apply next year. The Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961 bans Friday or Saturday games for the NFL. But it does not activate until the second weekend in September. So last year and this year, right? Last year and this year, NFL games are on the first weekend in September because the way the calendar falls, September 1st is Monday. Yeah. Last year, September 1st was Sunday or whatever. It was close enough where football happened on the first weekend.
Right.
So because of that, if Labor Day is on September 1st, 2nd, or 3rd, the first Friday of the NFL season lands on the first Friday, not in the second weekend, where the SBA blocks the NFL from broadcasting.
Okay.
The question becomes, will they say, who cares? We like it enough. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine they're just going to give it up. You've had Friday primetime to open the season.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to say, eh, only every couple years we're going to do that. But that's the story. Next year, owners could decide, well, who cares? We're just going to do what we want. Because the first Friday of the regular season could be treated like Black Friday. The SBA, the Sports Broadcasting Act, why is the Black Friday game allowed to be in there? It's early enough in the day. It doesn't hit at night.
Yeah.
There's a Friday night, lights out. So the NFL has been kind of finding loopholes to get their games on Fridays, like this one coming up with the Chargers and the Chiefs. Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk also points out, the NFL's also said that they won't play on Christmas if it's a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and they went ahead and they did it on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So
again, like, it says that they can't broadcast the game?
It says that they, yes, the Sports Broadcasting Act says you cannot have a Friday night game in the second weekend of the year.
What I'm wondering is, are they going to get another loophole, another
stream?
Like, yeah, are they going to say, hey, YouTube, we're not broadcasting it. It's not on television.
That's a good question. I mean, like, 1961, I know what the language of that is, but.
Right.
So as of right now, there is no opening weekend Friday game scheduled for next year.
Okay.
You want one?
Yes.
Of course. Yeah, so do I.
Yes, I do.
I'd like one tonight, but we can wait till
tomorrow. Oh, Wednesday night game? Can they do that? Instead, hey, we're not going to have a Friday game. We're going to have a Wednesday game.
Wednesday, Thursday?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're doing Australia, you're going to want to do that game and have enough time between that game and week two and give a team a week and a half.
But they're not going to put an Australia game before the NFL kickoff season opener, right?
I don't know.
It's a tradition kind of. That kind of. I mean, they always
Listen,
have
the NHL.
The Thursday night is the Super Bowl. That's the opener of the season, and the Super Bowl champ gets it. Like, imagine, maybe you wouldn't be, but let me ask. The Bills win the Super Bowl next year. All right, ready? I'm going to ask if you're mad about anything after that sentence.
I am not
but
mad.
The Bills win the Super Bowl next year, and you find out months later, you guys won the Super Bowl next year, but we're going to do Rams-Seahawks the night before you get to open the season.
Don't care.
You wouldn't care.
Do not care. The NHL had games in Prague during the regular season, and then they come home and have the NHL first game. Baseball does this too, don't they? Regular season games in Japan.
And then they come back to spring training.
Right.
And then start the season like weeks later.
So yeah. I don't know how they'll make the Australia game work, but we could see it before the kickoff.
The Rams are the team going to Australia, right?
Yes.
And then we don't know their opponent, obviously.
We do not.
Okay.
803-0550, Sal, when we return, big day today, injury designations ahead of the first game against the Baltimore Ravens. We'll get Sal's take on Gabe Davis coming back as well. We'll hear from the Bills on this too. So coming up, Sal, here on WGR.